Here in these verses, we are reading about wisdom in chapter 8. The chapter here is telling us, teaching us about wisdom and what wisdom is. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. On more than one occasion, we are told of wisdom appearing at the gates of the city, which is the place where important decisions were made in the life of the city. That's where the city council would meet. It was a place where it could be readily seen what was happening in the city, who was coming, who was going, and what was being brought in and what was being taken out. And Proverbs in these chapters, it tells us of the life in the city and the bustle of the city, and there's much going on in the city. At the same time, there's this voice crying out to the people at the gates of the city, wisdom, to hear wisdom and to receive wisdom. We've found that wisdom is of great value, and the Book of Proverbs teaches us how we are to think of wisdom, to think of wisdom as a sister. The Proverbs tell us to think of wisdom closely, to always be seeking wisdom in every situation. Wisdom is of greatest value, these chapters tell us. And these verses tell us more about wisdom and are a help also for us to understand why it is that wisdom is so valuable. In these verses, in verses 22 to 31, it tells us of wisdom and its beginnings. And in speaking about its beginning, it goes all the way back to the beginning and before the beginning. Here in these verses, we read of wisdom declaring where she was and how wisdom began. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. It goes on to speak about the creation of the earth. Wisdom was there before the beginning of the earth in verse 23. Then goes on to describe this further. Wisdom before creation in verses 22 to 26. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. Wisdom was there before anything else was there. It's quite a thought, isn't it? How can we conceive of what was before this world, this creation? Yet there is God, and there is also wisdom. Wisdom was there before creation, and as wisdom was there before creation, so also wisdom was there in the creation while the creation was being brought about. Verse 27, when he established the heavens, at that moment when God made the heavens, I was there. when he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When we're brought to the creation of the world, we live in the world and we have our vantage point in the world. We see as we see, but there's also another vantage point to the making of the world, and that's God's vantage point. And then wisdom is also giving us a vantage point, and it's one as though one as though wisdom is looking down upon the earth. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, perhaps here speaking of the horizon. If your eye were to look out, or you look out to the view outside of the church after church, and you look around, and the horizon is all around. It's a circle. When God drew that circle, quite a thought, isn't it? God drew that circle. Wisdom was there. That circle was always there. Wisdom was there. When he made the skies, when he made firm the skies above, God set the sky where it is. When he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, there I was beside him. Wisdom before creation, wisdom in creation. The Bible, it's important for us to observe it, that when the Bible speaks about creation, it doesn't only speak about creation in the beginning, but speaks about creation throughout the Bible. Here's a commentary for us about God making the world and how he has made it. It's a theme at the beginning. It's a theme God touches on again and again through the scriptures in Genesis, where he speaks of his the making of the creation in Job. There's a little echo here in Proverbs of Job. Remember when God says, "Well, where were you when I made this creation?" It's one that's something that is a fair question, isn't it? When we are part of that creation, wisdom was there. Wisdom was there at the creation. And this is telling us of the importance and the value of wisdom. The Psalms often speak of the creation. The Psalms that we are singing tonight, they mention God's creation. So we were singing of how God stretches out the heavens. How he made the clouds, how he laid the foundations of the earth, how he covered the deep, how he makes the waters and the hills. And then in the Psalm 136 that we'll sing later on, these verses again, they also tell us of God and what he's done in creating, how he's made the world. He made the heavens high. He stretched the earth above the sea. He made the great light shine. He made the sun to rule at day, the moon at night, and the stars at night. Jeremiah, what we find references God speaking of his creation in Jeremiah. He speaks of it as, and he weaves it in with his covenant for his people as well. It's one of the wonderful promises that God makes to his people, that he ties in his creation with his salvation. And so when he makes his covenant with his people, I will make a new covenant, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. He says that for so long as the sun is in the sky, and so long as day becomes night and night day, as long as the stars are up there in the sky, God will bind himself to his people Israel, and he will save them. That verse from Jeremiah we're hearing earlier, a wonderful verse, expression of God's love. I've loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I shall continue my faithfulness to you. What an assurance, and assurance for us also, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus also often spoke of creation, whether speaking back of what God had made in the garden, or speaking about the recreation, the regeneration, as he described it, of all things, that God is going to bring about new heavens and the new earth. So we find then that there's the wisdom that was there before creation, the wisdom that was there in creation. What a contrast to the worldview, the popular worldview of today. The worldview that says there is no God. The worldview that says the world, universe, the cosmos is a result of chance and its fruit, and experiences the often described experiences of emptiness and guilt, for there is sin and there is guilt. The worldview that has found its has taken root, that has found a home, has its genesis in a turning away from God. Has its genesis in a turning away from God. Has its beginning in a turning away from God. Worldviews may not have been precisely the same back in the day of the scriptures. There were similarities as well in Jeremiah chapter 2. When God speaks and laments of what was happening in Israel. As a thief is shamed when caught, so the house of Israel shall be shamed. They, their kings, their officials, their priests and their prophets, who say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you made for yourself? Let them arise if they can save you in your time of trouble. For as many as your cities are your gods, O Judah. We also live a day where there are many, many gods being followed. And therefore we need to take care that we ourselves are following only one God, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the Father of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. There are similarities to that day with this day that we are living in as well. If a fruit of the common worldview of today is a sadness and an emptiness, the fruit of the truth and the truth of God's word and the truth that is set out before his ears is richness and meaning and purpose. For wisdom is that there is meaning, and wisdom is that there is purpose, and there is a definite beginning and a definite end, and a good purpose that is being worked out to reach a good end. There is the beginning and the end of wisdom. Wisdom, as wisdom is calling, wisdom is the source of life and a goal of life. It's setting these things out to us to embrace wisdom. And when the Bible speaks to us of embracing wisdom, it's saying to us to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Wisdom has its value. It's woven into creation. It was there when God made all of this. And it has this intimate knowledge of creation. Job was not there, but wisdom was. Look at what it says in verse 30. Then I was beside him like a master workman. This world has been made by a master workman. Even when we praise so much the advances in science and technology and so on, but what are these in comparison to what God has made? They pale. They pale, and they are only a result of what God has made as well. That God has provided the materials for these advances and the gifts for science. Wisdom also tells us of rejoicing as well, doesn't it? I was beside him when this world was made like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. We found in the Proverbs that wisdom is not only concerned with an end, a goal, but a way as well. There's a way that's being described to us here. A way, a joyful way. Wisdom has a joyful way about it. And God delights in it. Wisdom rejoicing in God. God rejoicing in wisdom. I was daily his delight. God delights in wisdom. When it speaks of delight there, it's speaking of when it speaks of rejoicing there in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. That rejoicing, that word translated rejoicing is a meaning of being playful, what to laugh. There's a serious side to wisdom that's been made known to us in the Proverbs. It's also playful as well. And we're being told here of God delighting in himself and delighting in his plans and in his purposes, but also delighting in his children, delighting in the children of man. When we think of the trajectory of this passage, it's been speaking of wisdom being there before what was made, wisdom being there in the creation, for God is wisdom and God is wise. And then his creating mankind, delighting in the children of man. And the wonderful thing, isn't it, about the gospel is that it tells us of God delighting again in the children of man. That God delights to be with his people. And God delights to meet with his people. It's something that we've mentioned in the past, that God never misses a meeting with his people. He's always there. He's promised to be there. I will be there. There are two or three gathered in my name. I will be there. He never misses a meeting with his people. He's always there with his people. And even there are those times when we don't realize he's there, but he's there. Jacob, surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it. He delights to be among his children and with his children and his children to work out this almighty God, to work out his plans and his purposes in time, and for his glory and for our good. He delights to be among and with and in his children. And he is delighted to pass wisdom to us. And then the best way is there's the wisdom, the written wisdom that we have. And when we are having described for us here the delight of wisdom and even a playfulness of wisdom, as we read the Proverbs, we're almost at the point of reading these Proverbs. I mean the Proverbs where it's one verse is a proverb or another verse is a proverb, and there's sometimes there are word plays that are going on in these Proverbs, and they're instructive and they're delightful and they make us think, and they make us wise as well. And God is pleased to give that to any who should seek it from him. To here he gives his word for us to be in it. There's the written wisdom, and there is the incarnate wisdom. God doesn't stop at giving us his written word. He gives us the word that became flesh and who dwelt with us. And it's most especially in Christ, isn't it, that we see these themes and these works of God being brought together. Creation, wisdom, love, joy, woven together. Creation in that the Word of God, the Eternal Son, came to us and he became flesh. As John tells us in his letters, insisting against those who denied that he came in the flesh, He came in the flesh. He lived among us as one of us, like us in every way, and accepted Christ, the wisdom of God. We read the wisdom, and then the wisdom of his purposes and what he did in going to the cross, the wisdom of God in doing this work of salvation. Perfect wisdom, wise for God's purposes. That's the theme here. God is bringing about his purposes, and Christ, the wisdom of God, bringing about God's purposes. What are some of these purposes that Christ brings about? God's glory, the glory of God. Christ, who lived for the glory of God, who died for the glory of God, who rose to the glory of God, and God's glory in exalting his Son. This is the wisdom of God, to exalt his Son. That he is the one who is set at his right hand and appointed judge of the living and the dead, and given the name that is above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And thereby thereby the wisdom of God is manifested. And what? Because of this glory that belongs to the Son and the Father's will to glorify the Son, there is the humbling of the proud and the exalting of the humble. The humbling of the proud and the exalting of the humble. And this is God and his wise decrees and wise purposes. The wisdom of God, which has exalted his Son and is bringing about today also his good and final purposes. Well, next time we look at the closing verses of chapter 8 and there a concluding section there about one of the purposes of wisdom and the need to hear and to be wise and not to neglect it. Well, let's have a time of prayer, shall we?